Biden's desperate for a new Iran deal, and energy policy could soon be used to limit our freedom. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day and lots of laughs, too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast. We like to get right into it, and what we're going to get into today is Joe Biden's job approval rating, as in, it's better, but it's still bad. It's really bad, actually. Now, the president's job approval rating hit a low point, 36.8%, low point, in the Real Clear Politics average of polls on July 21st. Okay. At the same time, his disapproval rating hit a high point, 57.5%. Now, both of these are really unhappy records for Biden, and they're also records for any other president at that point in his term. I mean, that's how low Biden sank, 36.8% in the Real Clear Politics average of polls. Today, Biden's job approval rating is 42.2% in the same average of polls. That's up nearly 5.5 points from his low point. Disapproval rating, 54.8%, down a little less from its high. Now, the improvement in Biden's approval rating is pretty significant. I mean, 5.5 points is just not nothing. The problem is, even that, with that improvement, Biden is still around 42%. And that, for Democrats approaching the midterms, is not good news. So, around this time in 2018, first couple of weeks of September in 2018, President Donald Trump was approaching his first and only midterm elections. Gallup, the polling organization, publishes an article headlined, "Midterm Seat Loss Averages 37 for Unpopular President." So Jeffrey Jones of Gallup writes the following: "The president's party almost always suffers a net loss of House seats in midterm elections." I mean, right there, I mean, they almost, no matter what the job approval rating is, they almost always lose seats. So the president's party almost always suffers net loss, House seats, midterm elections. Continuing the quote here, "However, losses tend to be much steeper when the president is unpopular. In Gallup's polling history, presidents with job approval ratings below 50% have seen their party lose 37 seats on average in midterm elections." 37 seats. "That compares with an average loss of 14 seats when presidents had approval ratings above 50%. Okay, so 50% above, 14 seat loss. Below 50%, 37. Now, I said this came out in September 2018, and it turned out to be spot on for the Trump midterms. Trump's job approval rating at that point was 41%. The Republican Party lost 43 House seats. So low rated president, big losses in the House. Okay. Let's move forward to today. The most inconvenient fact for Democrats today is this: 42.2%. Biden's current job approval, 42.2%, is well below 50%. You do not have to be a math major to figure that one out. Now, the second most inconvenient fact is that Democrats do not need to lose 20 or 30 or 40 seats to lose control of the House. If they lose just 7 seats, Democratic control is over. Anything above that will just determine whether the Republican majority will be very narrow or broader. So this rule in Gallup, below 50% rule, it is ironclad, going back half a century. In that time, no president with a job approval rating below 50% has gained seats in the House. Republicans, Democrats, if they're below 50%, they lost seats. Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, they were all below 50% at midterm time, and they all lost a lot. Okay, you have to remember, again, Democrats can't lose very much at all. I mean, they lose 7 seats and they've lost control of the House. I mean, the historical precedent looks very, very strong. A president at 42% is just not going to win, pick up House seats, he's probably going to lose a significant number of House seats. It's almost guaranteed. So the big question now is whether there is something new about conditions in 2022. It's whether today's politics are somehow, in some maybe difficult to define way, so different from the past that the lessons of history do not apply. Okay, you will not be shocked to learn that some Democrats are trying to talk themselves into believing just that. Now, I'm going to discuss a pretty true believer on the Democratic side, Simon Rosenberg, longtime Democratic strategist, worked for Bill Clinton in the way back time, and for many years has headed the New Democrat Network, perhaps the most optimistic Democrat in Washington these days. Not just recently. It's not like the last two or three weeks he's been saying, hey, we're going to win or we'll do better. He's been saying it for quite a while. His argument has been, pretty much for the whole Biden presidency, that the 2022 midterms would not fit into the historical pattern. Because, I mean, you could have said on Joe Biden's inauguration day, he's going to lose seats in the midterm elections because, I mean, it was just as predictable then as it is now. Rosenberg doesn't believe that. Almost a year ago, November 1st, 2021, he published posted an analysis called Three Reasons Why 2022 Won't Be 2010. 2010 being, of course, Barack Obama's first midterms, where he lost a ton of seats, lost control of the House, of course. Nancy Pelosi lost the speakership. Simon Rosenberg's three reasons why 2022 won't be 2010. The first reason was, he said, that Democrats had made good on their agenda promises like infrastructure spending. The second reason, and this is a quote, the GOP's extremism will be easy for Democrats to exploit. And the third reason was, he said, there were indicators that Democratic turnout in the midterms is going to be really high. So those are the three reasons that 2022, according to Simon Rosenberg, will not fit into this historical pattern that I've been discussing, in which the first-term president loses a bunch of seats, his party loses a bunch of seats in the midterms. So those are his three reasons. Democrats have made good on promises, GOP extremism, easy for Democrats to exploit, and higher Democratic turnout. Now, the analysis was not what you would call complete. Remember, this is November 1st, 2021, but the word inflation does not appear anywhere in it. Okay, so that's a problem. But the part about Republican, quote, extremism has been a guidepost for Democrats. And I'm going to read from Rosenberg here. Many of us believed that if Trump was defeated in 2020, his brand of extremist politics would fade from the national scene. But over the past year, we've seen this extremism spread far beyond Trump. And so that, he argues, has created a, quote, fear of MAGA among independents and Democrats that Democratic candidates can exploit, that's his word, exploit to use to win in 2022. Now, Republican candidates don't actually have to be extremists in this strategy here. The point is, Democrats will portray them as extremists. But now it is clear to everybody that Joe Biden is working 24/7 to exploit the, quote, fear of MAGA. I mean, if you look at the president's last couple of weeks on the campaign trail, he's been out a good bit. If they had any theme, it was fear of MAGA. That's what he's working on. This is what Simon Rosenberg was writing about in November of last year. So the question is, will that work? Does that make 2022 a historically anomalous year, different from all of the midterms that have preceded it that had set a pattern of presidents losing seats? Well, certainly at one point, a lot of Democrats had hoped to make the 2022 midterms about Donald Trump. It's not like this is Simon Rosenberg's idea or something. A lot of them had wanted to make the midterms about Trump. But over the summer of 2022, inflation is roaring, voter pessimism is increasing. Making the midterms about Donald Trump became a more difficult job for Democratic candidates. It was a bigger challenge, more of an uphill climb for Democratic candidates through much of the summer of 2022. But then came August 8th, FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. Trump's winter home in Florida. The ensuing controversy with the revelation of a Justice Department criminal investigation of Trump, focused on allegations of improper handling of classified documents, has pushed Trump's already high negatives among Democrats and independents even higher. And it has inspired President Biden and his party, the Democratic Party, to a new effort to exploit, quote, fear of MAGA. I mean, there's simply no doubt that it's working for the president right now. I mean, can anyone deny that President Biden has benefited politically from his Justice Department's pursuit of Trump? Well, you can say, well, gee, that's not why the Justice Department is doing it, or Trump's at fault here. But it's a simple fact that Biden has benefited politically from the Justice Department pursuit of Trump. Now, is that enough to upend what is a very, very solid historical trend? We're going to talk about that next.
President Biden's desperate for a new Iran deal. Ranked choice voting in Alaska makes the fourth place finisher the winner. And energy policy could soon be used to limit our freedom. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day for conservatives, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Join us. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I'm back. Said I was going to talk about whether these factors were enough to upend a really solid historical trend. First, I did want to say, though, if you've been listening to the podcast, enjoying the podcast, and maybe even learning from the podcast, it would be great if you could subscribe to the podcast. You can do it at iTunes, anywhere you get your podcast. It's really easy. It will change your life, and I would really appreciate it. So please subscribe if you can. So the question is the fear of MAGA that you're seeing as the centerpiece of President Biden's campaign strategy these days enough to upend the solid historical trend of presidents losing a lot of seats in midterms, especially unpopular presidents losing a really lot of seats in midterms? It seems unlikely that that will change. I mean, the problem for Democrats is that there are issues other than Donald Trump. I mean, I'm sure they'd love to just run only on Trump, but that's just not the world as it exists. Now, on the pro-Democratic side, there are voters who are energized in opposition to the Supreme Court's abortion decision. They're out there. It's a real thing. Don't know how broad, how widespread it will be, but it's there. But on the Republican side, inflation is still an enormous burden on American consumers, and it's going to remain so through Election Day. Now you say, well, the price of gas has gone down, and indeed it has. And energy prices were a major driver of inflation, but it's still going up across the board. Anybody who's been to a grocery store knows that White House spin about there being zero inflation is just spin. So all of that is just one component of the enormous sense of pessimism that many voters feel about the country's future. And that is another big factor working in the Republicans' favor. I mean, the fact is, Americans, even those who seem to have become a little more forgiving toward Joe Biden, are still in the mood for a change. I'm going to read to you from Kristen Soltis Anderson, the pollster and political analyst. Quote, Biden's improving job approval numbers come despite the fact that more voters today say things are on the wrong track than they did in March. And then she adds that the improving job approval numbers come despite the fact that more voters today say they have a negative view of the economy than did so in March. These are strong, strong factors working against Democratic victory in the midterms. And by the way, we're really talking, well, we are talking about the House right now. It's a very different situation than the Senate. The Senate may be a toss-up right now, but if Republicans win control of the House, that puts an end to the Biden agenda, the legislative agenda, if there is such an agenda. If there is one, it's over. It's gone. It's dead. The Senate is a different story in the sense that the Senate has the power of confirmation. If Joe Biden is still in the White House, if there were a Supreme Court opening, things like that, that's having a Democratic Senate will be enormously valuable to the president in that case. But the outlook for the House of Representatives looks still very poor for Democrats. Now, can in the next 60 plus days, can Democrats convince voters that they should be more worried about MAGA than about their own livelihoods? Can they convince voters they should be more worried about MAGA than their own livelihoods? Well, anything is possible. This is the point in the podcast where you have to say anything is possible. But the midterm outlook still looks really solid for a Republican takeover of the House. So we'll talk about the Senate later sometime. We'll have another podcast go through some of the state-by-state chances for Republicans in the Senate midterm elections. But for the House, you've seen all this optimism. You've heard these expressions of optimism from the Democratic side. Just remember, Joe Biden is still at 42%. So that's it. That's the point I wanted to make for today. Thank you for listening. Always appreciate it when you can, and hope you can join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.